Hey everybody, welcome to episode 140 of Revisiting Sunnydale. I am Camila.
I'm Marcella.
And it's that time again to start talking about Buffy and her poor choices. And, you know, kind of everybody's poor choices this time around. Or a lot of people.
Everybody's poor choices. Everybody's making bad decisions. It's just a shit show.
It is. But what's not going to be a shit show is our episode today, our podcast today. If you are a patron, thank you. You're watching the video. Thank you for being a supporter and a subscriber. You rock. If you are not and you would like to do so, you want to see the video. You want to see what stupid, ridiculous, funny, snarky faces that we're making as we replay these episodes back. You should go on, hop on over Patreon and look for Revisiting Sunnydale. Because you can, for as little as $5, you too can, $5 a month, you can also partake in our facial expressions. Neither one of us has a face that can lie, necessarily, so.
Gets me in trouble all the time.
All the time. I'm always told, fix your face. The truth is coming out.
Do you like this?
Yeah. It's cool. So, any hot topics today? Anything that we want to talk about? I can't think of anything that's happening right
now.
No,
nothing. Oh, no. I have one thing.
Okay.
But it's a teeny tiny little spoiler for She-Hulk.
Okay. I haven't started it yet, but that's okay.
Okay. It's one casting announcement, and that's that Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers is her dad.
Oh, bless his soul. Yay.
I know. And he was just here in Pittsburgh. I know. Had I known that.
It's all about, you know, like marketing, guys. Like maybe you should have just.
Right?
Like I don't know if that's like a real spoiler that should have been held on for too
for
a
long
time.
It's just her dad,
time. Right?
Right,
yeah.
Just
and,
her
it's,
dad.
And also, but it's just, I mean, not to be disparaging, but it's just Cousin Larry. Like he's only
right.
That's only special to like a certain population.
Right. But no, they're like Mark Lynn Baker, Perfect Strangers. It's like, right. Nah, dude, that's Mark Lynn Baker of She-Hulk.
Like, right. Like now that's what his claim to fame is. Like, because I mean, Perfect Strangers, yes, I was almost there. Like had Michael C. Hall not canceled at Steel City Con, I would have gone and I also would have given money to Belky and Cousin Larry.
Right.
Photos. But Michael C. Hall canceled and I was like, it's not worth it. I'm sorry, but it wasn't worth it to me to go through all the hubbub because I kind of feel like I still have an equal chance of like running into either one of them at a coffee shop.
Right.
You know, like
right.
I feel like I could run into Bronson Pinchot or Cousin
right.
Larry at Whole Foods. So it's just like, you know, that's our time will come again.
Now, coming up in December.
Dun, dun, dun.
Lord Jesus.
We're going to have to keep a close eye on that one because, you know, if Charlie Hunnam does actually make it here for Steel City Con in Pittsburgh in December, we're going to have to.
I will be there.
Yeah, we're going to have to look out for Marcella and her mom, apparently. We're going to have to keep close tabs on the news. And
When I told Raven that he was coming, she was like, oh no, you're going to do another awkward neck kiss. And I was like, that could happen. I could actually see that happening. Yes,
who was
yes,
that with again the first time?
Norman Reedus. It's his own fault. I blame him. We were at the table and I was getting something signed and he leaned in for a hug out of nowhere and I didn't know what was happening and I thought he was going to kiss my cheek. So I just ended up like air kissing by his neck and then felt real weird about it.
Yeah. And I had a similar experience with Tommy Flanagan from Sons of Anarchy where we were posing for a photo and he moved over and it looked like he moved towards me in a way that I thought he was going to hug me, but I don't think that's what his intentions were, but I hugged him anyway. And like, cause I was too far committed into it to like smoothly get out of it. And so, I just hugged him and was like, it's just the way that I expected it to be or something like that. And he chuckled. So, you know, everything was all good. And, yeah, so far I haven't embarrassed myself too much in front of any of these celebrities. I accidentally grazed Billy Zane's butt
That happens.
But he was cool about it.
Yeah.
He was like, oh. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
You have such a limited amount of time. Like, I know. You don't know what to do.
I don't have control of my my limbs. But like, we have like this long for me to like look good in a photo with you that I've been wanting to take for ages. So forgive me if anything weird happens.
Right. Please forgive the person standing before you. I don't even remember what I said to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, but it is my favorite photo. Apparently I was hitting on all cylinders because it's a great photo.
It is a fantastic photo. And I remember you telling me that he complimented your dress.
He did. He did. He was very, he liked my Captain America dress. And I was just like,
looks better on the floor. So anyway,
like, he's joining the boys.
I was just about to say that. And I was so stupid for a hot second. Like when I saw that, I was like, oh, well, spoiler. I guess Negan's not going to be on Walking Dead anymore. I was like, oh, wait, the whole damn show is ending this year.
Yeah. He needs a job.
Right. Which, congratulations. I still haven't
managed
to catch on to the boys.
Me
like,
neither.
I think I watched like three episodes, the first three.
I haven't even started it.
It's, I don't think I'm liking it.
They're trying. They are really trying. They're like, no, no.
Well, how about this?
How about, Jensen Ackles? Yeah.
Will that, will that help?
A naked Jensen Ackles? I'm like, no.
Like, no, thank you.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Now I'm like, oh, you sons of bitches. Add Jason Momoa and I might be there.
Like, right, yeah,
come
exactly.
On. That's, keep tempting me.
Yeah. Seriously, though, I mean, I feel like it's the kind of show that would welcome a nice Billy Zane. You got me there, like, because I'm like, I think I'm contractually obligated to watch any and everything that Billy Zane is in, so.
Did you see JC on TikTok?
JC who? Chazé?
JC Chazé, yes.
No.
Why does he look 60?
Oh, no.
He's got, Raven thinks he looks like a silver fox. I wonder why he looks older than me.
What happened? Wow. He's gone gray already?
Please take a moment to... These are our sponsors, if we had any. While Camila looks this up, because this
is...
It's his first video on TikTok.
Oh, bless his heart.
Mm-hmm. He can't even figure out what the fuck.
Is that Sofia Vergara behind him?
I don't know. I don't know what they get up to.
I'm just seeing the stills, but yeah, like this is pap material. Like
right? Even with like the doesn't he have like a cable knit sweater or something? Like are you cold, sir?
He's got
you're
some
at
weird,
a
like,
bar.
It's like a raincoat or something, like a Columbo style raincoat on. And like even the still that I'm looking at, like he's looking like somebody's grandfather trying to figure out what is this
right,
thing about?
Right.
What am I?
You were in a boy band, sir.
Right.
You should a boy be, band. No.
You shouldn't be this out of touch.
No.
Like what happened? Like I understand.
Your
we
boys
all get older,
are
but...
right.
But damn,
Joey and like, Chris are down in Florida performing boy Backstreet Boys songs at Eat to the Beat at Epcot. I don't know how that works. Like, you have your own catalog of songs that you could legitimately
why are you singing
sing.
Backstreet Boys songs?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's how that. Like, are even you confused as to what band you're in?
Maybe they're just not. Maybe they're not allowed to sing NSYNC songs without JC or Justin
involved.
They're like, okay, what you're not gonna do is come in here and try to butcher your girlfriend by right? yourselves because
right?
you guys know
no,
damn
sir.
Well.
No, sir. No.
All right, let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Season seven. Season 7, episode 14, first date. Original air date February 11th, just in time for Valentine's Day, 2003. Written by Jane Epsonson. I'll never be able to say her name just properly. It'll never just flow out of my mouth.
Like D.B. Woodside.
Right, yes. It'll never just, as many times I've said her name. Directed by David Grossman. Buffy accepts an invitation to dinner from Principal Wood, and the secrets of his past are revealed. Xander impresses a beautiful girl with his knowledge of rope, and she seems to be interested in tying him up. I mean, I don't think he really impresses her. The First contacts Andrew in another attempt to destroy the Potentials, and Giles finds himself tongue-tied with the new potential Chow N. Important guest stars and co-stars: Anthony Head as Giles, Tom Lenk as Andrew, who is delightful in several commercials I've seen him in recently. Fucking Kennedy, fucking Ashanti as Lisa, Danny Strong as Jonathan / the First, Sarah Hagen as Amanda, Christy Wu as Chow N, DB Woodside as Robin Wood. We're just doing a thing here. Katie Albert as Nikki.
Yeah, right.
Wood.
Right.
Woodside. Okay, so this is the episode of Buffy. Like, this episode is called First Date, but also known as the one where they play with interracial dating.
But you gotta give it to them for that. I mean,
have to throw it all in the same episode, though? I mean, yeah. we can't spread it out a little bit?
Right.
And then the one ends up being demonic? So, I mean...
Which, it just occurred to me now that I think she's a reptile demon, and that's why her name is Lisa. Why there's three S's in her name.
That makes sense.
I see what they did there.
Because I kind of thought she looked to, I mean, the eyes when she changed, like, I'm assuming she's some sort of reptile demon. And
yeah.
So, yeah. Giles is telling everybody about how he escaped a certain death by kicking some major ass with the bringers, basically. Like...
You know, in a few episodes, we get Storyteller, where Andrew, you know, embellishes a lot. I'm thinking Giles embellished this story a little bit.
I'm gonna say so. he talks about his, you know, being aware of his surroundings and all that jazz. And, like, Giles, I've seen you hold your own-ish, but I've never seen you do it all like this. This is like very well poised and choreographed and right on it. Like, Giles, that's not you. And he's brought back a new potential who doesn't speak any English. What is it? It's Cantonese that she speaks?
I think so.
But they're all so. But Giles starts off thinking that she speaks Mandarin.
This poor girl. Like, you know, no one really makes an effort. This is 2000 and something. I'm fairly certain. Yeah. So they've got cell phones. Apps exist.
Do they?
Because
we're still
I'm
working on flip phones. At the very least,
websites exist. And Google Translate probably existed in some form.
Right.
And Willow's doing little bits of magic, right?
Right. Yeah.
We can't just do like a translation spell to help this poor girl and her stomach issues out. You damn near kill this girl.
It's so messed up. And they don't, they make zero effort.
Zero.
Because, like, the most is they speak loudly, which, yeah, that helps with language barrier.
How? That's the rudest thing I've ever seen. Like, she's not deaf, Giles.
Right.
Like, what? And of all people to do it, Giles is smarter than that.
Right.
Like, Giles,
you're supposed to be the worldly one. Like, you're supposed to be the worldly one. You've traveled the earths and the world. Like, you have interacted with different cultures. You can read whatever the fuck, like...
Right.
Aramaic or something.
But you don't know that speaking louder isn't going to help her understand you.
You all of you with your white privilege. Ah! So while Giles is telling a story and they're all like... They're patrolling in the graveyard. Spike comes out of nowhere and attacks Giles because he thinks he's the first. And both Giles and Spike are just like, "Ah, you're not hurt, or you are. I can touch you," or something like that.
It's so funny. It's just so funny because Giles is just like, "If you thought I was the first, why did you tackle me?"
Right. And Spike's like, "I guess I didn't think it all the way through."
Like many of my plans, I just kind of went with it.
and Giles, then,
better question, why aren't you in pain?
Right. And then now Buffy tells him that she had to have the chip removed. How long has Giles been here?
Right. And they're so awkward about it. Like, So what happened was...
Right.
We had to make a choice.
Replace or repair, or remove or repair. Jim Shooting Joe's like, repair. Always repair.
Always repair. Like...
Also, like, you're affecting a lot of people's lives here, Buffy, and you just, like, it feels like the number one on the agenda should have been, hey, Giles, welcome back. This is what happened.
Mm-hmm. She's going on faith a lot here. You know, she's operating under the assumption it'll be fine. Even if we take the chip out, he still has a soul. It's not like he's just going to be Spike of old. But here's the thing. You don't know that.
Right.
Just because he has a soul doesn't make him Angel. It just doesn't. It exactly. wasn't the same curse. It wasn't like Angel's soul has strings attached.
So many.
Spike's Spike's doesn't. Spike just has a soul because he wanted it for you, because he thought you would like it.
Yeah, with Angel.
There's no strings. Like,
no, because Angel was, like, cursed specifically with that by someone who was like, you are going to pay for all the pain. And so, yes, there was definitely specifics involved where with Angel's soul. And so Spike was just like, eh, I mean, here's your shit back. After you.
Right.
But Giles is not happy about this whole thing where with Spike and his chip and all that stuff. And, Giles thinks that Buffy and Spike are very dependent upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which, he ain't wrong.
He's not wrong, but at the same time, he spent a good portion of the previous season harping on her to be an adult.
Right.
Make the decisions in your life. You need to make the decisions. I can't make every decision for you. Well, guess what, buddy? I'm out here making decisions, and you don't like them.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Right. Yeah, he's going to have to deal with it. But on a side note, Buffy's earrings in this scene look amazing. Like, I really like her hoops.
The big, giant hoops. They're so big.
They're so cute on her, though.
But they are really cute.
Meantime, Xander's hanging out at the local hardware store or something, or he's buying stuff or testing stuff out, or I don't know. He's just hanging out there, and then he sees Ashanti. Mm-hmm. Fucking around with some rope on the other end. And he goes over and offers to help her. And she's like, you don't have an apron. You don't work here. And he's all like, awkward. I'm Xander. Blah, blah, blah. I want to go out for coffee.
He's like, you're super hot. You definitely don't belong here. That's the attitude he has. It's just like, you definitely are not from around here. Let me talk to you. Which should have been his first clue. Demon.
Right. Exactly. Like, if you don't, how are you meeting any new people in Sunnydale anymore? That, like, at this point, you guys should really know everybody and know everything about Sunnydale.
But he's trying. He spit his little amount of game and...
Yeah, you know. He, like, asks her what she's trying to tie up, and she's like, oh, any rope to hang up kayak.
A canoe or a kayak or something stupid.
Whatever. Who cares?
Who cares? This is Jim.
So stupid. She's such a terrible actor. Like, why?
She's so bad. Why is she on this show?
I don't know. Did somebody owe somebody a favor? Like, it's...
Was it someone's make-a-wish that she get to be on their favorite show? Like,
was there blackmail involved? Because there's either blackmail or black magic. I don't know what's happening. Like, why is she here?
Was there she just so a big fan and was like, I want to be on this show. Make it
and
happen.
They're like, okay, this is the last season. I guess we don't have anything else to prove. We just let any and everybody come traipsing through here, acting like that they know what they're doing.
Here's my big gripe. She has no character. She's literally just a girl he meets at the store. How about she be a girl that's performing at the Bronze that he meets?
Yeah.
And she's singing, which is in her wheelhouse. And then... You know, he happens to compliment her on how well she sings. And then he sees her the next day at the hardware store. And it's like, hey, it's you. I saw you last night at the... Look, we just fixed the episode. You're welcome.
Done. Donezo. Or even better, had she been playing herself. And then it was like, oh, Ashanti is a demon. Cute.
Right.
That would have been much more forgiving than anything that has happened in this episode. So, Buffy is starting to suspect Principal Wood because he is too charming.
Annie's been nothing but shifty the entire time. Like, I still can't get over how shifty he was in the basement with the shovel where, like, what?
I would definitely still be thinking about that if I were Buffy. Just like, right.
But when you think about it, he buried Jonathan.
He did, without saying anything to anybody.
Right. He's the one that, like, that's what he was doing, was burying Jonathan. Which, like, please tell me you at least made it nice.
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't matter how good he is or what, that was definitely a foul act to pull.
Right.
Because Jonathan had people that might want to know where he is.
Now that I think about it, I don't know if he did bury Jonathan. If he were smart, and this is just my crazy brain, if he were smart, he used the shovel to recover the seal of Danvisar.
No, he did bury Jonathan. He took him out somewhere else and buried his body.
Okay. He should have put him in the incinerator. He should have burned him up.
He should have called the police just because Jonathan's people miss him.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is.
If we're operating under, like, supernatural rules, if he'd have burned up the body, would the first have been able to assume his form? Could he have taken his ghost form if they'd have burned up the body?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure. I mean, it's not corporeal still.
It's not corporeal. So it's just a visage.
I don't think it matters if the remains are left
intact. Poor Jonathan.
He didn't deserve it.
No.
He deserved better.
His people will never find him now because the whole city's gone.
Well, his people might be gone too. So,
that's true.
While Buffy is snooping around in Principal Wood's office, he comes upon her right when she's about to open his cabinet, and he's like, "I'm looking for supplies." And he's like, "How about the supply closet?"
Right.
Down
but
the
he's
hall.
Still all shifty, and she's all shifty. Everybody's being shifty.
And this is when he decides to ask her out to dinner. That's not. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not clear. We're all confused as to whether or not it's a date or not. And what's funny, like, DB does a really good comedy. I like his subtle comedy. His gentle comedy. And but he's like, you know, you want to go out to dinner? She's like, do I have to? Like, when? He's like, I'm certainly not saying go out with me if you enjoy having a job. I'm going to have you sign a little document saying I didn't say that.
Uh-huh.
Which...
It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And so again, he's being pretty, you know, they talk for a bit and then she leaves and he very shiftily pulls a knife out of his pocket.
A bloody
cleans
knife.
It off. A bloody knife. Whose blood is that? Who, sir?
Where'd it come from?
Sir. Because vampires don't bleed. Like, I mean, they bleed, right. But like, if you're stabbing a vampire, that means you're keeping it. Like, you just don't stab a vampire and go on your way.
Right, exactly. So, like, you would have been dead.
Right. So why do you have that? But he gives me an even bigger question when he lifts up a whiteboard to reveal a cache of weapons. This is a school? And I don't know about you, but people are snoopy. I'm sure the cleaning people would have discovered your cache of weapons while they were cleaning. Be like, wait, this moves? There was no lock or fingerprint thing to open it. It was one of those just tap it and it lifts.
Yeah. Like,
this is
Buffy would have totally found it, had she had the chance to open it up. But also, I'd be totally down with having a whiteboard cabinet like that.
Right? Right? Just look up under serialkilleraccessories.com.
Right. Decor. Serial killer decor. how
but
to
it bothers
hide your
me.
Real identity.
What bothers me about Wood as a character, there was no need for this long game. Had he told her from the jump when he got the job who he was, why he was there, they could have worked together all season. There wouldn't have been this awkward misunderstanding that happens. I mean, we still could have had that episode, the Lies My Parents Told Me episode, because it's a great episode.
Yeah.
But the amount of time it took us to get to this was not necessary.
No, it takes too long, man. And they don't do, like, I understand they're trying to, like, oh, he may be the new big bad, but we didn't really need it, though. Like,
we didn't need it.
We've already got the first that we're dealing with. We don't need to add an extra player in the game. And also, just his reasonings behind why he waited so long to say something to her. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
So meanwhile, back at the house, Buffy has told Willow about her evening plans, and they're both trying to decide if it's actually a date or not. And then Willow is like, oh, are you something about... Buffy says, I'm not still in love with Spike. And I'm like...
Excuse me, ma'am.
What's that now? When...
Still?
When? Yeah. When in love?
In love? Still?
Like, you were very animate about this just being a sexual thing.
Yep.
And
yep,
also, you were just like feeling really low, like a depressive sexual thing. Like, this is what you and never, my friend, said love.
No. Right.
So what in the hell are we talking about?
Is he in the basement at this time? Because his hearing's pretty good. Is he down there like, what now?
He should have just like swooped up. He should have just appeared right behind her.
Because that would explain like the way he is the rest of the season. Like,
yeah,
that would have given him that little bit of, hey, wait a minute now.
Right.
What was once could be again.
Right. And like, she never said anything about love to me. Like, what?
No. Right.
I have a chance.
And I'm sorry. Is Willow doing everyone's laundry? Why? Why? Because that's a lot of socks that she's folding and putting away. Are you doing the Potential's laundry? Because that's okay.
And you know what? The Potential's are old enough to work a washing machine and dryer. If they can work a crossbow, y'all can sort whites. Like, I'm
right.
Xander comes in and starts talking about he's got a date. Doop, 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 doop. And yeah. And
they make fun of Willow for flirting with Kennedy. Making, you know, assuming that no one notices, then she's all, shut up. No.
Blah, blah, blah. Stop we all have love lives.
Yeah. We don't, This is your friend's way of saying, stop it. You just missed the message.
Right. No, no. We're not being cutesy. We're asking, cut it out.
We literally want, I'm going to throw up. This girl's terrible. It's not that you're dating another woman. It's that she sucks.
Right. The one that you chose, not good.
No.
She's the worst. And good news, Andrew got a new microwave.
Because he loves him some Hot Pockets. He is a Hot Pocket man and popcorn. Hot and cold running popcorn. But, you know, a lot of shows these days get a hashtag to protect someone. We got a hashtag protect Steve. You know, we got a hashtag protect Stephen Grant for Moon Knight. I need a hashtag protect Andrew.
Retroactively. A retroactive hashtag.
Yes. For everyone that is now watching Buffy, start the hashtag protect Andrew.
Yes.
Because this poor baby. He gets accosted by the first.
Well, he's just minding his own business, trying to like get to know his new microwave.
He's the only person on the face of the planet that reads the manual for the microwave.
Right. Even the first is like, it's intuitive. Like, it has a...
Even the first is annoyed with Jonathan. Or with Andrew. I hate this. It makes me sad. This whole entire scene makes me sad for him.
Yeah, so, I mean, Andrew's talking about redemption and how he only follows orders from Buffy these days, and the first is like, well, how do you think they're going to let a murderer in her little group? And he's like, well, Andrew, rightfully so, lots of her people are murderers.
Kind of a prerequisite to be a Scooby. Right?
You know, yeah,
I think the only one... path of redemption and maybe some murder.
Is Xander the only one that hasn't murdered anybody?
Well, let's see. Yeah. Well, no, because technically, I guess he's not to blame for Jack, but Jack still died in that basement, right? He got eaten by Oz, the bully that made everybody zombies.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess Xander didn't kill him. He was already a zombie.
Right.
Now, I guess Xander hasn't killed any humans. Yeah. And Dawn.
Dawn hasn't
killed any humans, but she's not a human herself.
Right, so I don't know. It gets murky.
But if we were giving out retroactive hashtags, can we also give out a retroactive award to Mr. Danny Strong for the amount of malevolence he puts into this performance?
Right?
Like, it's fun.
You, buddy.
I know.
It's like, good on you.
Yeah.
It's like, he probably, I mean, you know, I don't know what he did before he was on Buffy, if anything. Like, maybe he had some bit parts here and there. And obviously, he didn't do, I didn't see him much on screen after mm-hmm. Buffy. So he never really got a chance to, like, delve into that part of whatever he can do. I mean, he's, yeah. you know, he's fine, everybody. Danny Strong is fine. He might be going by Daniel Strong these days, but, like,
I mean, he's out here winning Emmys.
Exactly. He's producing and writing and directing yeah. his ass off, like, all sorts he's of good. Creating all sorts of things. And, yeah, congrats, friend. But, yeah, like, it's definitely a fun look on him, a fun take. So Buffy, for some reason, Anya is helping Buffy get blood out of her shirt, but Anya's also spinning out because of Xander's date.
I mean, I do and I don't understand what, like, you broke up with him for a very good reason. Why do you care?
Right, like.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, if it were me, I'd be a little salty. Like, he's moving on. I'm right fucking here. Like, but that's on me.
It's a complicated thing.
Right. Why am I still here? I would not be. I mean, I understand maybe she wants to help save the. No, but you know what? The Anya that we met when she first joined this show, when he heard her, she'd have been out. She'd have been like, peace. Yeah. She left during graduation, y'all. She'd have been out.
Right.
She would not still be sticking around.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, she. Well, I guess she did leave after he stood her up, and then
she came back
all demony. But she came back, I think, with the thought of causing vengeance upon Xander, and then she just got kind of stuck back here. Mm-hmm. She got stuck in her old ways. But yeah, like, Anya, let's not do this. This no. isn't a good look on you, because she's just no. like all pissy. I think maybe it's just Anya might just have an addictive personality.
I think she does.
Maybe that's, she's just, she's got control issues, perhaps, maybe. Maybe it has nothing to do with Xander whatsoever. It's just her personality.
Yeah.
And then speaking of awkward, Buffy runs into Spike in the hallway, and there's, like, a really uncomfortable exchange between the two of them, because I guess there's nothing else better to talk about right now other than who's got a date and all that jazz, because he's like, I heard you got a date. Like, what is this, high school? Like, what are y'all doing?
From who?
Right.
From who? Who told you? You mean you actually physically heard because you were in the basement.
Right, because you were eavesdropping. Because, so what? Like, Willow's just going to be like, hey, Buffy had a date, Spike. How you doing? Like, what? No. Nobody tells you.
And there's so much sunlight in this scene.
So much.
So much sunlight. I mean, I guess he's in a shadow a little bit, but I mean, there's
just in order to get to where he was. Like, he had to have passed a window at some point.
I mean, it's literally streaming in behind Buffy, like, bright as can be.
Right. And I'm also a little bit concerned about, so this vampire is living in your house, I assume, so nobody's taking any precautions to some blackout curtains?
Right.
Give him a safe path during the day?
Right? Because that would be too much. No, nobody cares. But he basically is just like, you know, have fun on your date, I guess.
It's like, whatever. I got other things to worry about. Like, I got some shit I need to leave. This is... Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about your little dinner date right now.
And that will come up again in a very hilarious way with Giles, who gets so pissed off.
Rightfully so.
Like, and rightfully so.
I am with Giles. So Xander's out with this terrible Lyssa and at the coffee house and tries to flex by saying, like, he ordered a red eye, espresso, blah, blah, blah. She's like, it's hot cocoa. Excuse me.
Don't touch my drink!
Right! We just met!
I don't know you!
You are slurping from my mug.
This one's yours now, so I'm gonna need a new glass, because she took mine. Sorry. I mean, to be honest, I don't even really like it when my family drinks out of my, like, it's mine!
No, right? Right? I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I hate it.
Like, I can never look at it the same. Like, it's not, no, mm-mm, no, please don't. Like, just,
it's yours now.
Right?
Can I have a bite? Let me cut you off a piece.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You do not and bite I, it.
That's yours now. I'm the same way with my family. Some of my family like to kiss on the lips. I think it's weird. And I'm like... So I have the same reaction. I'm like, don't kiss me. Don't steal my drinks. Don't drink out of my drink and don't eat my food.
Too much to ask.
I have personal boundary issues.
Yes. It's my thing. Whatever. It doesn't have to be your thing, but let's not make your thing my thing either. Like,
right. So I'm with you with that. That was my very first thought. Like, get off of my cup. If this were my show, I would have slapped her hand and it would have been a funny bit. Like, and it would have been totally in Xander's wheelhouse to do something like that. So I think that was a miss. And then for him to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, right. I don't know. I didn't, you know, that would be like trying. One of my favorite moments on Friends is when that girl eats Joey's food.
Joey doesn't share food.
I'm going to need a t-shirt that says Joey doesn't share food. Right. Because that's true.
Exactly. And you know what's ironic about this, and I just now thought it just came to mind, is that you said that Xander, it would have been in Xander's wheelhouse to have slapped her hand away. Not in Nick's. Nick is probably the only person I've almost stabbed for, like, reaching onto my plate several times. He has done that in the past.
I can see how he has that personality. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, okay, mm-mm. I'm going to tell you a little something about me, sir.
Right. So while Xander's having this awkward moment at the espresso pump, which is only one of two places you can go on a first date in town.
I guess.
Principal Wood is taking Buffy to this back alley bistro that apparently exists.
What?
We've never seen it before. She's super suspicious of him as they're on their way. Which, yeah. Are you going to kill me? Have you straight up brought me here to kill me?
We are walking through a back alley, a very dark back alley, right? With a lot of dumpsters and garbage cans.
And then they get attacked. And she's like, you son of a bitch, you sent me late. Which I think we would have had to address during dinner. I'd be like, you called me a son of a bitch. You made a couple crazy assumptions, ma'am, and I'd like to talk about it.
But then she sees that he's fighting the vampires also, and they fight together. And it turns out he's got some moves. Like, dude knows what's up. He got some moves, and he's got a stake on him. He's just, you know, as people who live in Sunnydale should, everybody at this point should be strapped with a stake at the very least.
You show up in Sunnydale, you go to the Welcome Center, you get your vampire deterrent kit and a map.
Right. Exactly. Where not to go and what doesn't exist anymore. Because it's like, so basically all we have left is the espresso pump and the bronze and several bronze. Iterations of the bronze.
You know, in the Wishverse, they had curfew. They had a curfew in the Wishverse with Xander and Willow because it wasn't safe to be out. I'm pretty sure it's still just not safe to be out in Sunnydale. There should really be a curfew.
There should be, and I don't understand what... Do we have a mayor anymore? Like, the mayor doesn't matter anymore.
No, because the lieutenant mayor's dead. It's not like we had an election.
Right.
But so we spend some time bouncing back and forth between these two dates. And I think my favorite, my absolute favorite part is during Buffy and Robin's date when she's like, it all makes so much sense now. Is that why you hired me to be a counselor?
That's right. And this kind of is like a callback.
Mm-hmm. And he full on laughs in her face.
Right? Because he's like, oh. And so like, because like, Because, like, earlier, while Buffy and Willow were trying to figure out this is a date, she's like, or maybe he wants to give me a promotion because of all the good work that I've been doing. And Willow straight up laughs in her face. No, sweetie.
No.
I'm absolutely sure it's not that.
And which, so say we all, because from the very beginning, we're like, how did she get this job? She's not certified. She's not qualified. And it's my main gripe with this show. If you had just told the people, at like the police, the mayor, whoever, look, I'm a slayer. You got terrible problems. I'm your superhero.
Right. Like, this should not be news to you.
No.
But you've got, like, a demon problem.
Right. I'll take, you know, $75,000 to start. That's reasonable to keep the town safe.
Yeah.
And I can have, like, I got my people here and there, and that, like, you got plants in the library at the school to keep the Hellmouths safe. We need a whole new show.
Yeah.
We need a whole new show. But Buffy's a little wounded that Robin didn't hire her for her skills.
She really is. Like, she's real salty. Like, I'm like, so you really thought in your heart of hearts, Buffy, that...
Right. You were... And you don't even do the job, Buffy.
Oh. It's like, so what?
Fell asleep.
Like, what? She's scheduled to work maybe 10 hours a week. She probably shows up, like, three. Mm-hmm. And for two of those hours, she's Googling stuff or snooping around and investigating other things. So, Buffy, let's be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Also, back at the ranch, Willow and them are trying to find anything about Principal Wood online, on the interwebs, and come to find out they can't find anything prior to him moving to Sunnydale, prior to him being a principal. This big old question mark.
Yeah.
And Giles has been traumatizing Chow Ann with badly drawn flashcards.
They're amazing. I don't know how we don't have an entire merchandise line around these flashcards.
This is true. Like,
because they are the perfect callback to the Hush episode where he drew the overhead projection slides.
Which... I'm a little disappointed in Giles' artistic abilities. Like, I kind of feel like, as a watcher, he should... I mean, I don't know. He just seems like the type who would know how to draw.
Although, I guess he hasn't been spending decades like Angelus learning how to draw. And... Sir, you like, literally have a career right there. Why are you...
Yeah, I think you're wasting a lot of your talents. I don't understand what's happening. Let's use your talents for good. Let's not just leave. You only leave these portraits lying around when you're stalking somebody and threatening.
Like, right.
Like, they don't have to be threatening. Your charcoal sketches don't have to be so threatening.
I do need an entire comic line where that is just his calling card, just these sketches. Because he probably was Jack the Ripper, now that I think about it.
You know,
Angelus.
That would have been that would have been a nice little.
Yeah.
Something to put in there, like a little Easter egg, just like kind of have us suspicious, like, what?
Yeah,
he could have totally been Jack there. That would have been
better. But instead, we get Buffy seriously vibing with Robin. Like, they're having a minute. They're having a nice little minute.
Yeah.
And while Giles is traumatizing Chow Ann, they realize that they need to call Buffy. But she left her cell phone.
Yeah, because Willow gets a text... all right, let's back up a little bit. Before Robin and Buffy are vibing, he tells her the story about, you know, his mom was a slayer. And so, you know, that she was killed by a vampire. How, at this point, Buffy didn't connect the dots? Like, Robin's age, Robin's race, killed by a vampire.
Right. Like, it's all right there. All right there. And, I mean, this also just goes to show that Buffy is a very bad student and that she didn't actually study the history of the Slayers that came before her. Because it's not like he changed his name.
Right.
His name is still Robin Wood. Her name was Nikki Wood.
Right.
Should she not know the names of the Slayers that came before her?
That should have been part of Giles' flashcard situation.
Right. And that, so she started in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
This is the early 2000s. Nikki was mid-80s. Late, sometime between the late 70s, early 80s, that was Nikki.
Right.
So there weren't too many Slayers between Nikki and Buffy.
Right.
So she clearly never read the histories. That book right. that...
Never opened it. Never
she
touched.
Never opened the Slayer handbook. Not once. Nope.
So yeah. So that's what's going on there. And let me go back to Xander, who has been now tied up above the seal by Ashanti with the ropes that he suggested to her. And, you know,
makes
bad
no
acting,
sense.
Bad acting.
What is she doing? Why is she involved? Why is she trying to open? For what purpose? Just to have a good time?
Yeah. That's
There's
what it
no,
seems like.
That's what bothers me about this. There's no scene between her and the first. Like, if there had been a scene of the first telling her to do any of this to right. get that seal back open,
right.
then, okay, I get why she's here. She's just doing this for fun.
For shits and giggles. Like, it's something about, like, she says something about be on the side of the just that's going to win her. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're
it doesn't
a demon.
Matter.
Like, you don't have to have anything to do with any of this. Like, you're a right. demon. When shit goes down, you pick your side then, but you don't need to
right.
do all this. You do it too much. Well, try
you
to be
don't
relevant.
Even, you try don't even relevant. Seem to be from here. So
right.
you came here. Don't start none. Won't be none. This is why you end up dead. You should have stayed wherever you were.
Right. And somehow, Xander manages to text Willow. I still don't know how.
I don't either. I don't know. Well, it had to have been while they were at the espresso pump.
But what?
I don't
didn't know.
Know
he was in trouble then.
No. So yeah. it had, it's like, when did you... I don't understand. But I would have loved to have seen that conversation, a flashback. You know, right. some of these things that you guys tell us with dialogue would have made hilarious flashbacks.
Yes.
Because Xander and Willow coming up with this system, this code.
Either it means I'm getting lucky, don't call me, or there's a demon eating my face. Like, that's a big...
And I love that they're like, the odds.
Right.
He's probably being eaten. And even Anya's right. like, yeah, he's being eaten. But at the same time, poor baby Andrew is being traumatized, progressively traumatized.
Yeah.
So the first is like, well, okay, this isn't working. So his plan is he wants him to take the gun, which, why did you bring that gun into the house?
Yeah, Willow. Why wouldn't you just
What'd
take
you
it
bring-
back to the store?
Right. You know where you got it.
Right.
Why didn't you just take it back to the store? Or, you're a witch. Why didn't you make it go poof?
Yeah.
No, we're going to put it in a drawer somewhere. I don't understand. So the first one's Andrew to kill
in,
all the girls.
Kill them all. But not all of them. Not Dawn. Not Anya.
Not your friends.
Just the potentials. Which, by the way, speaking of Anya, like, randomly I heard Spike call her Anya. Why does he call her Anya?
It's like Han and Han in Star Wars. It's like British people. They just, it's so weird. Because I think Giles actually calls her Enya too. Almost like Enya instead of Anya.
Yeah. Enya.
Enya.
So Jonathan, yes, is being traumatized and he's gone undercover. Like, Willow and them think it's, they should try to record the first. They're just like, do you have any weaknesses I should know about? Or
he's so bad at it. And even the first is like, what are you doing? You're asking a lot of questions. So it goes full on scary pants and shows what Jonathan would look like all in the dirt.
Oof.
And what I love about this is like the whole time they're like, we should call Buffy. We should call Buffy. And Spike's like, I'll just go get her. And they're like, no,
like
she's
50
on a
times
date.
He Let's says this.
Right. I'll just go get her. No.
I can still pick up her scent.
No. And finally,
Buffy
he's
left
just like,
phone.
I'm going to go get her.
And he just leaves.
Lickety split. And like the door closes at that house. And then he's very awkwardly. And how did they not notice? How long was he standing there?
Those Slayer skills are really good.
Right?
Way to be
well, she's so distracted by the best thing she's ever had in her mouth. Who
it
broke
been
that
awesome
line?
If Spike was like, hey.
Hey. I begged a different little lady. And then, you know, we go back to poor Xander. There, Spike is like, there's a problem with the boy. Is that what he's yes.
Don't even bother to give him a name. And what's funny is, like, she knows exactly what he's talking about. Like, there's a problem with the boy. And, like, I think later on he refers to Andrew as the little boy.
The little boy. They tried to get the little boy to record. Or he tried to get the little boy to shoot the girls.
Right.
It's so cute. But Xander gets stabbed.
Which, and, there should be a lot of internal damage. Because that's, like, what? About 6 inches of steel that went into his belly?
Yep. And they just act like it's nothing. They just bandage him up. He's fine. Really?
Are you sure?
Because I'm pretty sure that that thing opened. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah. You might want to have his intestines checked a little bit, but I don't know what y'all are doing.
Mm-mm.
Another cute thing. When Andrew brings the gun to the first, he's like, it was in Buffy's underwear drawer. She has nice things.
She's got nice things.
And he's like, show me. The first is like, show me. He's like, well, I didn't take any of them.
It's like not the underwear. God. You don't. Doesn't he call him a donut? Does he call him a donut?
I think so. Yes, there's a very awkward car ride to find Xander with everybody in there.
So awkward. I do appreciate, though, that he's not. He's kind of sitting in the middle. I hate when movies and TV shows block a person in the middle and the back, because that's not how people sit. I know you want them all in that shot, but no one ever sits bitch on purpose.
No. Like, you're there momentarily to grab something from the front seat, perhaps. But,
right.
No. If you're the only person back there, you're not. You're not sitting in the middle like that.
And so he's kind of off to the side. Yeah, so they fight. And how many times, you know... Spike used to be a badass.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his ass handed to him in this fight.
He does, pretty easily. And I'm a little concerned about that.
Yep. Uh-huh. And why is she wearing like a... I just noticed that she's got like this long Stevie Nicks lace. What's this lace thing she's wearing? You can't fight in lace.
No, Buffy.
Apparently it can. Yeah.
Buffy's it's weird like this, thing.
So
overlay.
She's got like this... Yes, this weird long overlay over the under this leather coat. It's really weird. But she goes over to Spike and she's like tending to him, and even like Robin's like, what the what?
This one got stabbed.
This one's bleeding out. We're still on a date, I thought. And I don't know. I think I'm just gonna go home.
Yeah, this feels like a good time for me to just...
I'm gonna go.
Thanks for helping me fight vampires this evening.
Everyone comes home. Poor Chow Ann is like, what's going on? And Giles offers her warm milk.
She's like, are you trying to kill me? I am lactose intolerant. Like many Asians, I am lactose intolerant.
But also, Miss Chow Ann, the internet exists, and I'm sure you have your own devices. You couldn't Google some phrases to say lactose intolerant?
Yeah, exactly. Like, everybody's in the wrong here. Nobody is really trying to understand myself.
No. So then, here comes a perfect example of how shows can be dated sometimes. And Xander comes in, everyone comes home. And Xander has decided that he's had enough. This is kind of like the butt monkey. He's tired of being everyone's butt monkey. And this time he's done with dating. He's done with women. And he wants Willow to gay him up.
Yes, because he feels like only demon women are attracted to him. He's like, and he just goes on. Give me the gaydom or whatever. It's like blah, blah, blah. And everybody thinks it's real cute. And someone is like, well, what if, wouldn't it be funny if boy demons started to hit on you?
And
it's cringy.
It's cringy. It's the definition of cringy. And they're all joking and laughing and having a good time. And it's at that moment that Giles flips the fuck out.
It calls them children. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh shit, he means it. All right, guys. Straighten up.
Guys.
Get you.
And he grabs the flashcards. Do you think this shit's a joke? This is real.
Like, man, you shouldn't have brought the flashcards out.
Right.
With that.
Right. And then he gets so mad that he, like, throws them on the desk. And I'm like, sup, Ripper? Hey.
Maybe. How you doing?
How you doing? It's been a minute. How are you? And then, you know, he just stalks off. He's just like, I'm sick of this shit.
Like, why do I keep doing this? Like, why am I coming back here?
Right.
Why do I keep fucking with y'all?
Right. I could have kept my ass in my palatial estate. But no, I came here to help y'all.
You're not taking this seriously. Time and time again, I swear.
I'm done. And then, of course, we have to wrap it up with Spike and Buffy having a cute little moment. Oh, I think this is where he calls Andrew a little boy because he says
the it first to told the boy. The,
yes, it talked it to talked the boy.
To the boy. Told him one time and for so, me yet.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what that means, but
I should probably go.
I should go. And she was like, hell no! Uh-uh! I want like, you here with... Eh? What? Huh? Hope? Hope?
Like, I'm not ready for you not to be here.
What does that mean? Why won't you?
You're so cryptic. Just tell me what you want.
And so we get to wrap up the episode with Robin, who's kind of washing his face, having a little decompress after the night's events. And he stands up and sees his mom. And the reflection of the mirror, which I would just like to say this is the worst wig I've ever seen. I don't know if black hair is that hard to make a wig out of.
They don't care. They just don't care.
This literally looks like they took bits of other wigs and glued it to her head. They just pushed them. They mushed them all together into a thing and then plopped it on her head.
It's so bad.
It's terrible. It's like, and I mean, she's been recast. This is not the Nikki Wood that had that wonderful scene with Spike in the subway. She's been recast to kind of a glam bot version of a Slayer.
She's like, maybe. Like probably 5-6 shades lighter. Mm-hmm. She's got like her like light eyes or whatever. Yep. And she's like, got this va-va-voom vibe to her. Mm-hmm. As to where the other one looked like she would kick off in somebody's ass any minute.
Right.
You know, like
she was more Pam Grier.
Yeah, this girl is, I don't know.
Then Paula Patton.
Yes.
She's Paula.
That's, there it is. Mm-hmm.
And, but what I like about this is that Robin's like, well, fuck me, I done made it to the major leagues if you're coming to see me.
What is up?
Yeah.
First,
he's like, all right.
I know you're not my mom, but like, what's up?
What's up? I'm in the game now.
Right. Okay.
I have been recognized. All right, let's go.
So y'all see you, boy.
Right?
Y'all see you, boy.
And the first is all like, all right, I'm going to need you to calm down. Because let me tell you a little something about that vampire you met tonight.
Guess what I know. He's like, what? He's like, you know the vampire that killed your mom? It's Spike.
You know that coat he's wearing? It's mine. I want it back.
Okay, bye. Have a good night. I had forgotten that it was up until this point that Robin didn't come into this knowing that Spike was the one, which...
No.
Quite frankly, how would he know? Like, nobody was there to bear witness and... I mean, except for, like, unless it was Spike going around bragging, like, you know what,
Actually, he would know, because the Watcher would have known what happened to her, because there is a story, I think, in Tales of the Slayers, where they sent her after him. Like, she was sent. It's not like she, like, I believe she was sent after him. So, they knew.
She just run into Spike.
Right. I don't think she just ran into him. Like, I think she stumbled upon him. She had a conversation with her Watcher. She gave Robin to her Watcher to watch. And then she went after him in the subway. Mm. So, like, they knew who she, I believe they knew who she was going after. So, he should know who that is. And if you spent the whole, like, you've been looking for this guy your whole life, you're telling me you never stumbled, your Watcher never told you who that was?
Yeah. It does seem like there are some, at some point, these stories are crossed.
Well, and because Giles knows the story. Giles right. knew it was Spike. They knew that Spike killed two vampires. So the story to got told to somebody. Yeah.
So yeah, that's that.
That's first date.
No music.
How do you have Ashanti in the show and not at least use one of Ashanti's songs while they're trying to get blood out of Buffy's shirt? Or, I don't care. How do you have Ashanti in this show?
Right. You got a whole ass musical, a music person or musical performer, a musician on your show, and you do not use near one of their songs. Mm-hmm. Or they don't sing a note at all. Nothing.
No. We've already been over the burn. And there are no words to this burn. It's just Willow's laugh.
Right. Just laughing straight in her face. Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. Right in her face. Oh, you were serious. Okay.
We had a lot of bodies dropped this week. We had one Harbinger beheaded by Giles at the beginning, three vampires that were staked by Buffy, two staked by Robin, and Lyssa was beheaded by Buffy. Lyssa. Does it pass the Bechdel test? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. The random trivia, I didn't even notice this, but apparently there's a gravestone that's clearly marked Snyder in the old, what's that place where bodies are buried? What's it called? Yes! There's a gravestone, clearly marked Snyder, which is a possible reference to Principal Snyder being eaten by Mayor Wilkins, who was then destroyed by explosives, but it's highly unlikely that there are any remains to bury, because he would be inside of Mayor Wilkins' belly.
True. And also, would he have had any people to bury him?
Probably not. Like, he seemed like a lonely little reptile man.
Yeah, just like a lonely guy who just... Mm-hmm. Maybe that was just a nice little callback because he got eaten by a snake and whatever, and then they got Lyssa and this thing and blah, blah, blah.
But maybe he had a very dedicated assistant at the high school that made sure that he got a gravestone.
There's usually at least one. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Moral of this story...
Be careful who you meet at Home Depot.
Yeah, exactly. Research your dates.
Right. And, pro tip, stay off of my drink!
Also, get your signals straight, like with your friends. If you've got a message, if you've got a code, a safety code,
right?
Make sure everybody knows it. Make sure we're all clear on what it is.
Yeah, and maybe get better friends because they spent way too much time debating what it could have been.
Right.
Well, it could be. Should we go? I mean, it could be. No.
Hey, why? There shouldn't even be a code for don't call me in a while, for a while. I might be like
it's Xander.
Why ain't nobody calling you?
No.
So let us know your thoughts on first date. You can record an MP3 file less than 2 minutes and email it to revisitingsunnydale@gmail.com and we will play it on the air next week, next episode.
Get it done.
Get it done.